interrupting the current neo-colonial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 426. And we still hear the crickets. And yet I'm offering every week how to bust the cricketude out and get it back into the things that we thought were supposed to be instead of imposed by a group of people, lunatics, absolute lunatics. And everyone wondered how Jim Jones did it, how Hitler did it, how anybody can do it, and you're watching the world succumb. And no one really speaks out about it correctly. A couple of us. I know that's a high-sounding thing, but I'm sure that if you had challenged me, you'll find I've been correct. We're going to go through some of that today. A bunch of different information as well. Picking up the old news, stuff that we were told years ago was coming on, telling the future, so that when the switch is tripped here, the great reset, they'll say, oh, we told you. We told you. Then your silence is our consent. For as much as everybody will deny that and say they get to do other things. So they're trying to bust people being the crickets, thinking that the summertime is warm and cozy and everything's okay and the forest is quiet and there's no harm coming down upon anybody. And that's really not the case. Supreme Court denies Johnson & Johnson bid to void $2 billion talc verdict. Just came through a day or so ago. Just to touch base on this. The Supreme Court on Tuesday turned down an appeal from Johnson & Johnson to void a $2 billion judgment for women who claimed the company's talc-based products caused ovarian cancer. The move came in an unsigned order and leaves intact a Missouri state court verdict against the multinational giant. That little unsigned order has been very interesting to me for decades. Decades and decades. No signatures. So, long time ago, it used to be something, where's the signature? Where's the authority? There hasn't been any. And here's it is right here. From this highest so-called court. Within this link, I have another link that I used and got. So, sound minds, if you're on this, look at the link for the WHO, the overnight healthcare. I've got that link later. I picked it up this morning. About as late as I got information from Soundlines about another verdict coming down through the federal courts. Folks, it's going the way I'm telling you, and you really have to, if you're not going to talk to me, if you're not going to respond to me, you're not going to ask for help, or you're not, you know, whatever you're at, if you don't listen to what I'm saying to set up your record to be able, when they finally come at you, when something interacts with you somewhere through your life in the near future, if you don't have what I'm saying together, in your mind, as I say that word in your mouth, which includes all the study and everything, you don't have to be so smart when you talk to them. You just have to learn and to distill down everything to refined statements. And I've been doing that myself. You've heard me over the years trying to get down the sentences or the few sentences to make the statement back that's going to answer it to this. And if not going to answer it because you're facing true criminals and psychopaths worse than that, then you're going to help hopefully be one last evidence that there, anybody who has a sense of freedom in their mind, they better step up. It's time. There's no other blame. It's someone else to blame. All these people, whoever they are, wherever their origins, is taking your silence. And the silence of those that know better, and because you just don't want to engage, they're taking that as probably the worst against us. Because they know anybody who knows that won't speak, the others don't have a chance. The clueless have no chance. You're watching 40%, maybe 50%. I think it's encroaching on 50. The government numbers are 70. At least 50% of the society has succumbed as clueless to this attack against them. Globally, folks, this blows me away every time I think about that. But anyway, getting back to this story. Wow. The hefty verdict was the culmination of numerous U.S. lawsuits brought by women who claim that Johnson & Johnson products contain asbestos and other carcinogens and that the company ignored health risks. And there's the point right there, ignored the health risks. And this is the point about the lawsuit, I think, that was very important. when they were able to disgorge the record of the company that they knew that they were potential risk or even risk. I think that was actually showing that there could be risk, and they ignored it. And this becomes the burden of the one who wants to sue and prevail against someone who's done wrong to be able to find that out. This kind of thing is very difficult to do. I think Aaron Brockovich was one of maybe our first, most people's first exposure to this relative to the nuclear industry and power generation and all that. Again, I'm not against it. It's just that there are things that aren't dealt with because they're costly. And when you have a industry that works on profit instead of really purpose, then we have a trouble. It used to be the corporations were to do a public good. They removed that. And I've been looking. In fact, a couple of you that I talked to me and we talked for years have been passively looking for how to get at corporations that aren't doing the public good anymore. And there just hasn't been a way at it. I haven't found it. I haven't found anybody get back to me over years. And so this is where it started to change against us as a people. And we didn't step up to say, wait a minute, we can't allow that anymore. But going on to this, Johnson & Johnson, and I hope health risks and Johnson & Johnson come to bear now again. In May 2020, stopped using talc in its baby powder, but the company disputes the products cause cancer. That's neither here nor there now, for sure. The initial verdict was $4.7 billion, but a Missouri appellate court dropped two women from the suit, leaving 20 plaintiffs and lowering the award to just over $2 billion. With a bravo, with a B. $2 billion. Apparently, these numbers are really irrelevant at some point. There's so much money moving through the amount of people that need all these products. I mean, this is almost maybe like a drop in the bucket, how Monsanto can actually survive these lawsuits. And then the fiscal, the financial bookkeeping that they do, the best practices bookkeeping. Anyway, going on here, the company appealed to Supreme Court in March. Alito and Kavanaugh did not explain their reasons for recusing. According to the Associated Press, the rationale may have been driven by Alito's ownership of between 15,000 and 50,000 in Johnson & Johnson stock, as well as Kavanaugh's father's previous role lobbying against labeling talc a carcinogen. So we see the embeddedness of all this. We see the internal nepotism within the government of all this. And so, I don't know what more to say about that. That's just what we allow. That's what's going coming down. It takes all these years to get a verdict. The Supreme Court, which is maybe not somebody anymore to rely on, it still came out and said, well, they didn't take on this case as in Johnson & Johnson. Instead, they looked at what was presented to them and said, well, what was done below, and this is what's the important thing, when you do anticipate appeals, your record, and then the difference in your record between what's going on and what should have gone on, and the errors that would relate to due process considerations that would materially affect the outcome is essentially what you're looking to make a record to affect in the future, is how this gets up there. And there was nothing that, by this, the Supreme Court said, well, there was nothing materially substantial enough in the due process violations to warrant us reviewing it. And so I guess I just said a whole lot there for those of you that are really taking the notes and understanding what I'm telling you to do, make a record. I'm making a record for this question right here. Do you have the errors in record? Do you have them in the record that you can move on that are substantial enough that it would change the outcome? So it's a whole lot more thought. Most people don't want to do it. In fact, I'm looking around. I think the listenership is probably at the lowest it's ever been, even though I'm probably one of the few people that puts out information that you can literally walk away and use if you were in that subject matter that I talked to. Nobody else, haven't reviewed much of anybody's material that will do this. You know, or just reviewing somebody else, supposedly an attorney. They've not even touched these issues I talk about in order to defend yourself. Set up the way to stop the oppression. At least give them a whole bunch of stumbling blocks. And a lot of people say, well, what's the point then? Well, that is the point. The point is that you're putting up the stumbling blocks. You're making the example that they just aren't going to run you over. And that's every one of you. And this COVID really did bring that to us, everybody. But no one really wants to hear that. And the listenership has, in my perseverance to continue to pass the message on, at least for me to tell you, be able to say, I did whatever I could. I did what I could to try and get people to avoid a jeopardy. And whether or not it was up, whether you took it on, that's not on me no more. I've done what I can say. I literally can go to bed at night. I'm troubled. The dismay is troubling, but I'm not feeling guilty that I wasn't here to explain, even though there's hardly any to listen. And that's what we were told, too. So I'm kind of looking like there's a future declaration. Only few would listen and fewer would act to protect themselves. And I guess that's what I feel bad over. People are getting hurt. The clueless are getting hurt. And yet that seems to be how life works. You have to stand up so that you defend against being hurt, because there's people out there that'll do it. I don't care what theories people work on. Not everybody believes in the non-aggression principle, and 40% of those victims of so-called this treatment that had no purpose in this COVID on a fraud that is continuing to go on, notwithstanding a couple of addressing with prediction that it would continue, even though it was outed, even though it was fraud was outed, fraud was alleged and not avoided. There's a couple of issues going that you don't hear about too much at all, if any. That they are doing the evasion matter, which was predicted and predictable, showing you this is not a system, this is a prison. This is an open-air prison. The globe, the world, is in an open-air prison. And that was predicted a long time ago. And it was up to us to choose the better path so that we can avoid all that. And I've watched a globe, a nation, people, my friends, who will avoid to do the responsible thing for themselves, and impliedly then, their children, because this is what the real, I say children advisedly, yes, your sons and daughters, see how you got to be careful here, you should anyway, more careful than I was right here in the real moment, but anyway, just to communicate to most people, you were there for them, and you're not, they're not going to be there for them, and if this thing rolls down, they're going to be less there for them. In fact, I was just looking, that one of the rewards, I think it was in West Virginia for getting the vaccine, which is, that was a fraud to you if you agree it's a vaccine. This serum treatment, this software of life, that you would get a firearm to get a vaccine. And I looked at that and I said, well, that's an interesting trick. That mess of pottage you're going to sell your inheritance for. For what? In a couple years, you may not be alive to enjoy that arm they gave you. Not the left or the right one that got the injection. No, the one that's called the firearm. You may not be around. And with the new laws coming down about inheritance and you can't pass it on, your right of inheritance is obstructed. There's no constitution then, right? Because that was supposed to be protected. You haven't even seen that one. No. What good is that rifle, the mess of pottage that you've sold your inheritance for because you didn't resist properly at all and then not properly? And as you were told behind the woodshed, you were up against the occupier that would make it so difficult in order to make that happen. This is an issue here, Johnson & Johnson, and Health Risks is another company that's making the jab, making the injection. And they're willing, you see now, to fight, to deny that the products cause cancer. I'm not sure what the proof of all that was. They knew, though, apparently in the record, which was due process-wise, perfectly well enough done to expose, they knew there was a problem. And they didn't say anything, and they're denying it till today. Now let's go to that jab. Can you trust these companies anymore is like an academic question. Look, my observation is, when you see this, what are you going to do about it? For you locally, on what comes against you. And this company is making a jab that is coming to you. And the threat of it and your lack of compliance to obtain something like it and something else, some other companies that are doing it, are going to affect your life in the future. And I've been asking folks, whether you're doing it silently and not telling me or whatever, however you're approaching it, if you're not arranging your thoughts, and they'll tell you. In fact, they're doing the SPARS manual that's now coming and hitting around. It's been around for a couple of years. Again, a John Hopkins product, is saying they're anticipating how to tell the government people and all the people that buy into this how to mentally prepare before they implement this thing. Just like I've been attempting to get you all to do here too. We're going to go on 2 years here soon, another 6 months. Maybe I won't last that long. Who knows? Maybe you won't hear me no more. Maybe that's what people want. Why? Because I'm a reminder. I said, behind the woodshed, it's a reminder of the responsibility that the future will require of you. And people apparently don't want to hear that. They'd rather go off on other things. I feel this is probably the most paramount threat to people all over than any other thing right now that I've ever seen in all the study I've ever done. And when it was predictable backwards, if you will, back to the future, looking how it was being set up, how I've explained how it's set up over decades, and then we got here, is a bit chilling in a way. Nevertheless, I'm still, for some reason, believing I will be here to tell people. I want to stop at some level, but I say, what for? But I think it's important. I think I have to do what I have to do in order to continue to be the witness, continue to help if I can, at least advise pathways to help protect yourself. As I witness most everybody walking in, they walk into the wall or the 2x4 just slammed in their face, and then they want help. I don't know what to do with that part. I can offer, we're going to get to these employment conditions as well from COVID that are now hitting. I told you they were coming, and here they are. You set up your employment problems with this COVID nonsense and the mitigation incorrectly. And some of you asked me, and I've explained how to try and fix it. Not many, if any. I don't even know if there's anyone who follows through. And you succumb. You succumb to this condition. And in a way, there was no reason for it. In a way, you had the right to choose the right things to do, to have a condition in you that you knew how to address. Not just, I has rights. No, how you're going to stop. We're going to touch on the employment thing again. Well, maybe those of you that aren't working or don't care to work may not be interested, but maybe your son or daughter might be interested when they're being impressed upon a software of life choice of their job. I'm going to touch on that, and I've already touched it. I already anticipated that when I touched the most stringent problem, the police state of Oregon imposing the equal access right that apparently no one sees as a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act itself to negotiate your access. I explained how you're going to do it. That is still holding up, and it's going to hold up through, if I get through all these tabs, it's going to hold up again as how you will address this. You will hear, if I don't get to it, the most important thing you look in the tabs when you read, you look at everyone professes this is about safety or risks. That is exactly what you hit right up front. And the best way to do that, because you'll notice that they also refer, even though there's stories from the federal side, that you have to follow the federal guidance, as I've asked. That was fraud as a guidance. See the light of day that you have to regard it. But you do have the local due process for communicable disease, which you can rely on. Why I've asked you a year and a half or so ago, write your letter now, particularly to state that you are not a contagious principle. And I'm using one state's particular language because it's there and available if you want to go find it. I don't know what it might be particular to you. I was saying infectious agent. That's actually a contagious principle of an infectious agent, and that you are not you don't harbor the infectious agent, and you are not the contagious principle. Remember, principle in law is the actor doing things. This is a different legal term. So you have the infectious agent and the contagious principle, and then we heard from the court the refined view, looking through all that was supposed to happen based on a state's imposition of a business. He said, well, but also the state comes for an injunction, but doesn't produce the evidence that this business in this case, or this owner, is a risk to the public. And so you, if you listen carefully to what I've been saying, I've been giving you the tools. I'm still over the target. I understand some of you, and I've asked you not to do this, but I thank you for trying. Your YouTubes are being hit hard. And so, again, I told you I couldn't back off of this, and it wasn't going to get easier. And so you're being hit hard because we're telling the truth. And think about this. I'm talking about how you avoid it, not challenging what they're saying. I just declare that to be a fraud, and they can't show different. And so now they have a problem because the fraud is not yours to prove. But I'm not looking at reality. I'm not looking at the thinking reality is justice or fairness or non-aggression or anything like that. No. We are in a serious trouble. So kind of got off point here. But Johnson & Johnson is ignored health risks. There's a clue, and if you collect your information that I've been saying, if you were ever to do a common law, if you will, let's see, how do they say that? An action at law suit. You would be able to pull this same thing out. So we see once the evidence is done correctly and they're given the due process, the evidence showed these people were harmed, and there it is. There's the money if you want to get into that, if that's what you want to do. I've been advocating due equity remedies first, establish the foundation from which you might be able to develop an at-law case. You have law and equity. You looked at that right? All those constitutionalists know that. You have law and equity. They're two jurisdictions. They have different rules. They have different principles. The problem is that we also have an occupier that will not, you look at most of that, and part of the deal now is part of the deal going in. And you're going to hear this as a suit. If I get to the tab, the suit, the judge said, that was part of the deal when you went in. And so this is part of the deal. We live in an occupied world. We live in a place dominated by demons, evil, and they have no care. And maybe it is that money is the only object, but I see different. So it's not just the so-called money, because that's a fiction. Remember, that's the carrot that they try to get everyone to go after. And that's the carrot that they say you need, and you do need, because of the system that's been established that you continue to agree with. And don't make alternative provisions. As I've told you also, under the administrative world we live in, make an alternative provision that is secured by a black and white. Okay, so moving on. This story is pretty interesting. Johnson & Johnson ignored health risk. Do you think, notwithstanding the indemnity that's been given by government, but through fraud, all this is fraud, that you may have a standing always to argue for yourself that the health risks that are only authorized, I can't remember the word now, it just slipped my mind. There's not an authorization for this. I can't remember, it just slipped my mind. What they've done with the emergency stuff versus what they were supposed to, and now it's shifting, they're going to get that to happen. Why? Because it's the next impediment. Once they move from where it is now, from emergency into accepted, then they're going to be, it'll say, there's a story that's coming. It says it's easier for the employers, in other words, also the business owners, to keep you asymptomatic, keep you, the healthy, from their interacting with the rest of society. We're having more and more stories about this. I don't know if I picked that up or talked about it last week. More and more, beyond what I started with, where they're testing the waters on whether or not, like, you want to go to concerts. And a lot of people do, and there's 50% of the population that's clueless. And so they will. And there's a 25% barrier right now, that's you, those that aren't buying into it, that are being eaten away at, that'll slowly be subsumed if you don't start to step up. And that small 25% is a lot more than the 3% that overthrows the problem. So if you got together now, you have a chance. And there's going to be a way, I think, partly for those of you in work that want to keep an employment to do something. I'm going to try and touch on that as we go. We'll move on a little bit quicker here. So I was predicting here, not I was predicting, but you could predict that this was going to affect the prices. I've done reports on the prices of things. What I did not say, one of the stories was that the same week was lumber prices have more than doubled or something. The house, to build a house now costs more than double. I think it was Java Doctor in the RLM chat said, yeah, he was telling me about a piece of paneling costs $80 now, and I remember it for like $20-something dollars. The fact is that the costs have been rising. The dollar is falling. The value is falling. It's not really actually that they can't produce enough. We are now in a position where we can produce plenty. Actually, I told you how we can give it away for free, all this stuff, if corporations were in it for serving mankind. But so the whole construction now is fabricated to be an illusion against what you may think in your heart of hearts would be how our lives are going to be better. But Colorado sees major price hike on majority of food items. Okay, so you see the hike. What is that? That's because the value of the dollar is coming down. It's also because of a false supply and demand went away a long time ago, but that's also going to be used, what they say, it's hard to get this stuff. The supply chain has been broken, but it's been broken by plan, so it's not actually broken. It's broken, like it's like coming up with the government saying, you're non-essential. And until you toe the line, until you get your vaccine, until you do the regulations, until you're sustainable, you don't sip from this trough. You don't eat from this trough. And yet there's 25% of the population that isn't affected, that's probably not clueless, I would hope, that could be responding, that could overthrow this whole thing. And they would, because they would show the, a solid example that they can work mutually, not in unity, but mutually. Like a mutualism, if I can go to an ism, but mutually you work together to defend yourself in certain ways and in certain conditions. And what I've been explaining how through for years, for years and years. So more evidence, Kala, the prices are going up. You all probably know that. But this is showing you the value of the dollar going down. And I was going to, here I'm bringing up from over a year ago a story I never got to. But this was, I was going to say it then, which I never got to. It became less important than other things. To tell you the future was going to be your dollar, your prices are going up, where the petrodollar Armageddon approaches as one of the world's largest oil and gas companies dumps greenbacks. This has to do with what the Russian Rosneft Corporation, they're the eighth largest oil and gas company in the world, was moving away from the greenback. They were dumping those, the reliance on the greenback. What does that do? That's like the problem I told you about China sending back and start buy, came over. What happened in the 80s for Japan, they were cash, so-called cash rich. They just came over and started buying properties and production. You saw that happen with the pork of with China here recently in the Smith Farms or whatever they're called. Okay, they come back with their dollars. They give it back to the United States. What does the United States do? It's now flush with cash. Your value starts to drop. This is just one of the parameters that causes this. When the last year, the petrodollar Armageddon is a promotion from, what was it, Sputnik News. So it would sound Russian supportive. We would use large, you know, sensational words. The point is that the Rosneft was dumping the greenback. It was going to have to come back. Those greenbacks are coming back. What that does is it diminishes your value. That's predictive of the increasing prices as well, as these companies in the foreign countries were dumping their reliance on the greenback. And you've heard that Russia, why I talked to you about Russia coming up with alternative. Remember the alternative. You have to come up with an alternative to the established, the global establishment. You'd be very intelligent on how you do that, especially at the level of these countries. Well, again, over a year ago, what was I, 2019, I was going to say this, and it just missed the timing, and it didn't become important. Well, I brought it way up because this is what's one of the things Colorado examples is this story from over that time back. Okay, so it was on the radar that we were going to go down the tubes as the dollars that they've been pumping out were going to come back because countries realized they didn't want to have that as a servitude to them. If they're coming back as a servitude, what do they think? What do you think they are to you, these Federal Reserve notes? They say they're debt, they're evidence of debt. And so they're dumping debt and they're bringing them back to you in this country. Drives the value of your dollar, your purchasing power down in the minimum. And while that is happening, and while this is allowed to happen, and again, my mind wants to go through all this discussion about the money and all that and forget it. You've all heard about it. It doesn't really matter. You can do all the research. We're on here today. They're killing us with all this stuff, and we better make a choice seriously soon because it's the writing on the wall. New report reveals, while well, you're going down the tubes, new report reveals the depth and despotism. I'll get the word out. Despotism, depth and despotism of Congress's legalized pay-to-play corruption factory. This was also a 2019 story I was going to say and never got to. This also anticipates what happens on, 2021, January 6th? This anticipates the condition that we all call the corruption in government. We call the organized criminals, but this anticipates the existence of a report about how that works. This isn't new. This first story they respond to is a quote from John Trenchard, Cato's Letters, number 12, from January 14, 1721. And so we have, as a people, lived with this for a long time, the existence at the time of the country itself. And it's never gone away, and the people never focused on stopping it. It's coming to bite us again. But through all governments, this great power must exist somewhere. Yet it can rarely be delegated in the prudence to inferior magistrates who, out of ambition, revenge, or faction, or for bribes and preferments, for out of fear and flattery, or in concert with ill measures, or selfish intrigues of statesmen, may pervert so dangerous a trust to the destruction of those whom it was intended to preserve. Have I not declared your constitution will write to a remedy in the non-existence of it since before the starting of this place, and we're going to suffer it again? And I'll let you see the pay-to-play schemes, the federal grants, the campaign cash investments. Let me get back to that federal grants. Did you just hear it? Did it trigger in your mind? Isn't that what's going down right now with all this COVID, the federal grants, the bribe that's going on? And so this is not even new news. This is a story that came back in November 1st of 2019. I finally went back. I remembered it's been sitting there. Yes, I could still remember that. And I drug it up today all because of not the unique story from Colorado price going up, but because they were there and because this is a continuing and a progression, literally progressive condition that is slowly eating away with your life. And when you are found to be a debtor, you have no rights. Master, not a debtor be. And that gets us into the employment condition as well. Master-slave relationship, master-servant relationship. But for statutes that may protect certain aspects of that relationship, which shows you that, by definition, the governments are slave-master guides, slave-master regulators. They agree with slavery. They agree with the 14th Amendment. They agree with Title 42, Section 1981. They promote that, exactions of every kind upon the people. And that's the pinnacle, because the rest of the world is less than that. So, you can read the tab. Read it. This is a year and a half. They were predicting a lot of what's been going on here. The fact that the so-called leaders are the few hundred people, 400 or 500 people, but maybe 1,000 people in a central place in Washington, D.C., is running roughshod over the world, bringing it to down, and now they're turning their attention to you because there's nowhere else to go. The world has gotten savvy to the problem. Whether they are criminally despotic as any other nation or not, they are learning how to figure out how to distance themselves from this. And the government of the United States can be left holding the bag, and the only place they can come to cause the problem, to come for the payment, is against you. While they cause you to be unable within your body to do a thing about it. I've told you, your health is about all you have against this. Once it comes at you, and they're going to take that away, here it is, they're taking that away, you're going to not be able to function about this, because maybe your grandmother, your mom, your father, your son or your daughter has been attacked by this method, bioweapon, and you have to put your attention on that. You are no longer functional in this society whatsoever to protect yourself. I've said this over and over. And those of you, I'm going to get a gun in West Virginia to get the jab. Well, that's a great trade. Is it? When you're dead in 3 years? I won't give you the link. I saw something last night. I couldn't qualify the proof of it. I'll just take it on for this purpose. Somebody who does hiring, global hiring for the oil industry, she's saying that the people that are contacting her are anticipating that they're going to be having to replace workers who got the vaccination in 3 years. I don't have a qualification for that proof, but I'll just lead with that. If that's the case, and they're looking to now have to replace probably 40, it's going to be the same number, like the microcosm, the miner is an oil man. 46% of the society is 46% of those oilmen that work in the oil industry will be dead or crippled in 3 years. They're anticipating now for it, and she knows because she's one of the people they come to get ready to start replacing people. If that's true, you're looking at what these vaccines are anticipated to do, and to Gary L's continuing exposure for us of the Deagle site, and keep on repeating to us that, well, we get to 2025 and there's only half the population of the United States. Can you see if 46% of the people are going to be crippled or dead? That number starts to look more like a rational number. And how long ago was that being predicted? It should be a concern to you. And my broadcast should be a lot better placed and a lot better received, and more importantly to me, responded to by employing the techniques I'm showing everybody in order, at some point, you will also mutually be able to come together when you see how this works in order to be better protecting yourself. I'm not seeing that now, so that it's looking pretty bleak, but I have hope. It could happen tomorrow. I mean, everything could happen. And again, another story. The new world is emerging before us. This was told to us by someone who was seeing it, what they saw, like we could all see, but again, in writing, you need to see that this was before. What's happening in the future is being changed. The Great Reset was writing. It wasn't based in necessarily COVID. This was, I think, before that. I don't have the date right up here. But this story was written really based in what this writer was watching had happened before in another country, which is happening to the United States. It ends up being what COVID implements in a political nature. It's a little bit outside of sustainable development stuff, but along the same vein, because it's the same, it's similarities. Talking of back in the 1943, the Soviet victory over the Nazi Reich marked the turnaround of the Second World War. The next steps were inevitable. It was not until the Anglo-American landing in Normandy, the Yalta Conference, the suicide of Chancellor Hitler, and finally the surrender of Reich that was the new world emerged. In 1 year, the Great Reich was replaced by the Soviet-U.S. duopoly, the United Kingdom and France. Are they the same players today? Yeah, as one of them is trying to break away from the monopoly that was kind of created by the financial structure after this. Because the United States and Britain were setting that up. And again, anybody who reads history can know all about that. Each historic period has its own economic system and builds a political superstructure to protect it. At the end of the Cold War, a breakup of the USSR, President Bush Sr. demobilized 1 million U.S. soldiers and entrusted the search for prosperity to bosses of his multinationals. So here we are with the promotion of commerce. Right. So this story goes on and shows and goes through a historic. When Syria was involved, was in the news, that's what this is, the time period this comes in. This shows, as you go through how this works out, how the Soviet order is being put back in place that rose out of the setup that was the World War II. We have to understand what is going on. We are entering a period of transition. Lenin said in 1916, the imperialism was the supreme stage of the form of capitalism that disappeared with the two world wars and the stock market crisis of 1929. Today's world is that of financial capitalism with a devastating economies one by one for, which is devastating economies one by one for sole benefit of a few super rich people. Interjection. Do you see, if you watch what was going on, those that without have less and those with have more, and that number is really few. And what they're doing is all on debt. They're all in debt. If we start looking at this critically, there's really nothing there, but we believe that there's something there. The super rich are the super richest in debt. And they control that against you. And you haven't decided to step outside of that. And so I don't know what more to say about that, and it's going to take a whole lot more work than just talking about it. It's a supreme stage implied the division of the world into two parts. On the one hand, stable and globalized countries. On the other hand, regions of war without states, reduced to being mere reserves of raw materials. This model, contested by President Trump in the United States and the Yellow Vests in Western Europe and Syria in the Levant, is dying before our eyes. And what happened to all that since COVID? Done, right? Nothing. No one's really rising up anymore. They didn't know how to stop. Then everyone got behind the woodshed and started hitting their governments for the failure, the fraud, the felony against them. And so as long as we don't do that, we're going back to the principles of the Russian Tsar in 1899, who started to run this thing. And this article pointed this out. This article was written a couple years ago. Okay, so this is stuff I never got to, but because triggered by the Colorado, another story of your dollars going down the tubes by the cost increase and the austerity being placed on you and the system that underpins that, that's not freedom in any way, and it's called capitalism, but it's working in debt. Remember, there's no capital involved. There's actually fraud involved. That's your actual money system, as I pointed out in 2009 with the so-called financial collapse. That was a setup for the takedown. Everybody sees that, but nobody wants to respond to that correctly and protect themselves. Now we come to the point where no one has anything. You're now on the dole, and COVID's part of that deal, and they're bringing you into the new austerity. As I talked to you about Agenda 2030, it's all written. The SPARS document explains a talk from the future, looking as if it's 1930, looking back at the past, and explaining the next one to come, that how the people that are involved with exploiting everybody else are going to have the word in their mouth, a mental understanding of what they're facing, with everything you've watched. Is written down in that John Hopkins document. Now, I don't know how we can look at that and say that there isn't a future plan that's being followed. In a way, I can look at that. If you can look, those of you that read the Bible, you can see it's like predictive. These people are going down the path that was predicted that evil would go down. It's as if they're fulfilling that. I don't know what more to say. When quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, lays eggs like a duck, has ducklings, maybe it is a duck. Maybe we finally have to be responsible to see that. But New World is emerging before us, an interesting report done years before COVID and showing how we're actually going backwards. And my view on this is if you look and see how that works, and then you turn to what you thought you were supposed to have and are being, even though you're being denied, as I'm suggesting you have the right to do and you need to do to assert those things in a foundational way, not as an opinion, and not that just that you have it, but show how the supposed official has no authority. They have no jurisdiction. That's what I focused on directly with the COVID. When does jurisdiction attach? It's that first medical report. So if there's no medical report, no evidence of a medical report, there is no jurisdiction to give an authority to make a mitigation measure, then you're also not subject to it. But the application of that without the first medical report is your home. Anything is your home because you're not supposed to, government wasn't supposed to act. Now, if you're not going to say that, no one has to pay attention. Moving in again, a little bit old, not this is the more recent information now based on the question about the magnetic injection sites. My idea relative to the inflammation and what we saw, and I presented all that documentation and studies, relative to the use of the body's inflammation response to gather the iron in the blood cells it needs in order to create the matrix that it's using. We're having more, I have a whole lot more information that came my way. I can't distill it all for this broadcast. I provided quite a bit inside the stuff I provided in the links in the broadcast. If you look down below, some of this more information that's coming out is those links. I just didn't bring them out. There's so much. I'm not, again, saying that there is magnetic nanoparticles in this. That is not part of the ingredient list. But we don't need to put magnetic nanoparticles. They did use magnetic nanoparticles to be able to find which proteins were being attached to the particles that they brought in by the ingredients that they bring because they attract the proteins. They were able to use nanoparticles coated with a lipid to do that, and they use the magnets to draw them back out so they can measure what they did. But I'm not going to say that, because I can't find it in the ingredient list, that they're actually using magnetic nanoparticles to do that. Iron 3 is in the blood when in the field of a magnet will be magnetic. Is in there, in the blood. They don't need to really parasite it. It would bring the body. They're using the body's natural response to trap it, if you will. So, COVID magnetic hydrogel explained the COVID vax magnet phenomena was a story that was advanced to me. The story of the eerie COVID vax magnet phenomena is in full swing, and this might be the story. See, just sit back a bit. Don't get lost in it. I want to find out what is the actual phenomenon. What's going on? Because we have this other thing, and you'll read, when you start reading some of these reports, you start seeing they're interacting. The structure does interact with magnetic fields, and the body creates magnetic fields, and the body isn't a body electric, and it creates in its, even in its function. If you have a neuron that fires, let's say they show us it's a spark, let's say, that could be an energy pulse. That would create a field. That field would be inductively picked up by an array or a member, an antenna, which is tuned to it, created to be tuned to it. So I don't want to get too deep into that, but there was somebody, I guess, named Jim Stone. He advances the idea of it scavenging, this material scavenging blood. I offer that to you because it was a part of the story, to see that there's someone thinking about this as well. I'm not necessarily believing it has to even scavenge. I think it just used my thought with what other things I've been reading. This thing causes an inflammation which brings red blood cells to the area which the attraction of which the hydrogel can use. And so there's this whole dynamic going on. And I guess the point for me is you read through what these people can do. When you start reading the studies, you see what's being studied completely without any knowledge to anybody that the scientists were studying for various reasons. I'm not going to put good or bad on it. But when you start to read enough studies, you start to pictures of potential applications build in your mind. And I have to put it there because, like I said, I can't find in the ingredient list that iron 3 is part of the ingredients. What I can find is in the system that they inject it into, iron 3 is present. And that's in your blood cells. Now, whether or not those cells are destroyed, which I don't understand how they would do unless and until, see, this, the structure has to happen before the cell is destroyed. And how would that happen? Would be when you start shedding, when the biology starts to interfere with the cells, goes in and puts the RNA up against your DNA, makes the hybrid, and then transfects the protein that they need to go trans. That becomes a virus that goes to other cells. Hits other receptors. And all these mechanisms that you hear, the ACE receptor and all this other stuff, start coming into relevance then. So anyway, I've put together some links. Someone else is looking at the hemoglobin with the iron. Again, to me, it's more reading enough that you start to get the idea. There's a whole lot more that could go on, that has been going on, that could go on, that we aren't even told yet what could be going on. And then compare it to the reality of what you see being told in the objective business where, let's say, we're looking for an ingredient list. Like I went through that. I went through all these long chemical names, and you're looking for parts and pieces. Are these parts and pieces together? Well, we found the parts and pieces for hydrogel. We found the parts and pieces to be able to create this adsorption condition where proteins are built onto metallic parts that the RNA is a function. It has a certain approach to the cell that they need. This is all in there. It's all kind of beyond. I don't do the study, but I don't do the research, but you can read exactly how this stuff has worked, how I've been able to kind of anticipate all this. But I found this interesting. A lot of things coming down. Biological magnetic cellular spheroids as building blocks for tissue engineering. Another story. Again, you need to read this stuff. I could talk about it. I could be a storyteller. But you just, the title and the fact that they're using magnetic nanoparticles as substrates for protein building that create 3D spheroid modeling inside, as we said, I already reported on that this is what goes on. These are the studies that say that it's possible. This is the studies you can read to show yourself factually whether or not I know what's going on. It is possible. And then you start applying what you're seeing. Well, to make that happen, like the magnetic thing, there has to be some certain mechanism. And you, by reading enough, you start seeing a plausible mechanism. Why are you doing that? Because you want to be able to, because the way the pressure's coming down, you may have to have a whole lot more in your word beyond stepping up and saying you haven't been determined to be a risk by your local medical health officer, that you may have to show how there, because you'll also know another thing you need to pay attention to on these links I'm going to give you. Notice that they have to give you disclosure. The companies have to disclose to you. There has to be part of the policy. That's where you can fight them on the fact that they hadn't disclosed. And then you're going to have something not like the magnetic nanoparticles that are not part of the ingredients, but you have the studies that show what the ingredients will do, in particular the polyethylene glycolated materials. That is primarily what they're using, although they're looking for I had a study, and I can't remember if I put it up here. They're looking at another material that does it even more efficiently, what they're trying to do to make their software of life more efficacious. Remember, I read that study that showed that they have a problem. They've admitted to a problem. these things don't do what they really thought they could do, and they don't do them as well as they need to, and so they keep throwing in. That's what adjuvants do. They irritate your system so that it tries to force your body to do something because it's resistant to all this stuff. You have to understand that. When you find that they're supposed to disclose to you certain things, I'm kind of speaking to the employer, the employee thing here, and you have a proof that they didn't disclose, then you can out them for not actually disclosing it and use that as the deception. And then I have to say right here before I forget, everyone who's talking right now to try and adjust this suggests that you demand the accommodation because of the disability being created in you. Just what I told you to do. And I went to the Pioneer Police State's worst condition to show you how to address that. I've talked about how you address that. And you get right to the point of the risk and the danger. And the way you're going to be able to prove it without, you can just tell them. You could, just like what you do in a petition. This is my allegation and I can prove that. You don't have to prove it at the time of the point of the complaint. A lot of people try to, but you don't have to. You just have to say you can. It's on your word that you will. And so, and you also have the question of whether that will be admissible in court. The point is you don't have to give them the proof that you are not. You just tell them that you're not. And look, that's why I said, then you ask for the proof that you are. And then you just assert that the local official, because you sent your letter, simple little letter, the simplest I've seen was two short paragraphs handwritten. It was pretty cool. I still marvel at the simplicity of that for all I talk about. The simple two little questions. Now you make sure it's for you. You just say, do you have that medical report for you with your name? And so you get you have the evidence that you can support your position. That you could just, all you have to do is assert that you're not a risk and you're not a communicable principal and they don't have evidence that you are. And that's part of it. So moving on here to what's available, exposure to, and this is a 1997 finding. So if you thought this information was not out there, it's fascinating what has been out there. If people were just integrated with protecting themselves, we would mutually defend ourselves with all the proper evidence come together. We would understand what is the most proper to bring that rises to the surface quickly. I think I offered that behind the woodshed. As I tell you, I don't even try to get to the mitigation stuff too much. We talk about it because that's what most people face and aren't doing the other things. So I talk about it. But we're looking at perfecting whether or not they have jurisdiction. If they don't have a studies here that to be able to prove anything, they can't get it. They can't get it after they get the report. And so we got it back. We have another back position we can take. As I tell you, this is the war against your life and your rights and your abilities and your properties and all that stuff. It's something that's serious. It's invisible seemingly to most people. And the method, no matter how much I talk about it, its method is seemingly invisible, but it's there nonetheless. If you've given me this much time over the years to listen, please continue. No, I'm not. You already know that I don't pull anybody's leg. But no, it's really the imperative. You really need to spend the time, create your package, your defense. I've tried to reduce the comments that you need to the law, and I recently just adopted that with that court case. That seems to be the fastest way for people to pick it up, and astonishingly to me, most people, some people hear it, and some people are applying it, but most people don't want to hear how really simple this thing is. And the problem with that is because, I don't have to do it yet, and they're not on me. The problem is it's moving on, and it's getting, that other thing is getting the foundation, the precedent against you. That, as I said, the longer they get the chance to continue, the harder and harder and the more it takes in order to defend yourself. And you have to have then been into the moment the whole time in order to hear how they're twisting things so that you can interject the fraud. You can interject that what they said was a failure to disclose or a wrongful disclosure and it's affecting you in a felonious way. I've talked to you about how to do all that. Exposure to a 50 hertz electromagnetic field induces activation of the Epstein-Barr virus genome in latently infected human lymphoid cells. A pretty astonishing statement here, 50 hertz. I think that's Europe's standard. And this was the thing I think Tesla was talking about. He says you got to get into a right frequency so that it's not bioactive. I think it was 64 hertz. actually 64 hertz in the scheme of things, I'm not sure is a big enough spread to 60, but that it would not. But anyway, this is there's a resonance in life, electrical, remember? Electromagnetics. And so here we have the evidence, electromagnetics pulsing at 50 cycles. That's your wall current in Britain. I think it's 50 hertz there. That would apparently induction diseases, folks. Think about this in the new array, phased array that the hydrogels create. An Epstein-Barr genome. Isn't Epstein-Barr, isn't the function, the symptoms of Epstein-Barr a couple of the things that the VAERS system is looking for because they know it's going to create it? Apparently, those are for Russia. Europe. I don't know what Russia does, but maybe Europe's the same way and Russia's the same. 50 hertz magnetic field. Any sub-frequency that's a beat frequency or a multiplication frequency that creates 50 hertz apparently could ignite this in your body. All right? So here's a study. Go ahead and read on it. You just think about if they're not disclosing these conditions. My point on this would be more, if you haven't told me about it and you don't have any studies, but I have this study that says it could, and you haven't shown that this is protected against, then you're not disclosing to me, truly disclosing to me, and that's a fraud. That's a form of fraud. It's a form of deceit. And so you start to have more in your mouth. You have to have this in your pocket now because it's getting more and more that the employer, the third-party attack, is precedentially giving authority. And one of the latest stories that just came out in the latest hearing about Houston, and I told you to be careful, don't do this international thing. Don't use the war crimes. The judge came out and said, well, they're not a government. This is a private entity. The war crimes is not something that they can be amenable to. And so I've told you to be very careful on the things you invoke. Most of these third parties are not governments. In fact, all of them are third parties to the government, right? So they're working in service to the government to supposedly charitably to help y'all. And this has been the setup, as I saw it in Title 50. I don't know what more to say. My mind wants to just shut down right there and stop talking. It's all right there. You folks don't even know how serious and how dangerous this whole thing is. And I can't say more than to just show you the examples of how you're going to start to protect yourself because we haven't been able to stop the main thrust of this. Corona, here we are, the guinea pig world, the global guinea pig gulag. Here's another link. I think I got this from Sound Minds and maybe the last links too. They did a deep dive as well. And we're really following up on the links I provide to perfect out more. And it's more horrendous when you get deeper that these links kind of came to the surface. So we're in the global guinea pig gulag, and they have a gang in this gulag that they're going to come after you. And these are the triggered ones, you know, the ones that think they're doing something for all y'all. And you'll find out that this is a guinea pig world where coming from Germany, the Universitat des Saarlandes. It sounded more like it was a little bit Spanish there. At any rate, not a linguist. Corona, they were, military said I should have been one. That today proves I can't. At any rate, that used to be. Corona in the Saarland. This is a study that started, identified in March, started in April the 8th of 2020, and its estimated completion time is December 31st, 2025. And the intervention details diagnostic test is cytokine measurements. The serum concentrations of multiple cytokines are measured. I'm going to stop right here. I just wanted to point out this is an actual study you can find that is going on at the clinicaltrials.gov. And again, proving they don't know what this stuff will do. They focus on the cytokine problem, which is what these vaccines are to incite, why they need your body to respond. The problem why people are dying is because it invokes it too strongly. The vaccine theory says we want to not allow that. It's not that they're curing you from anything. In this case, they actually give you more susceptibility. That's another non-disclosure that you're going to be able to like it to say. But at any rate, they're now studying this. You're guinea pigs. The study for that from Germany, looking through the government of the United States, through the functions of the United States, for these studies, are the proof that this is not well known about and not in long term. And if I give the lady credit for the employment agent that she is and talking about who's talking to her, if it's true, they're going to replace half of the oil industry. This is going to come up as a future story. If you, it sees the light of day. Moving into not just the, just what they're trying to check for, because they don't know what all this does and what they can do to manipulate, and that they are using nanotechnology to do so and magnetic particles as part of the research process, or even, as we see, to be able to create biological process to hasten this so-called treatment, and that 50 hertz cycling can be used to structure this, can turn on virus, can turn on, not viruses, they turn on the disease, in this case Epstein-Barr, but they also use the frequencies you'll read to form up these particles. This was a story from before, speaks directly to a hydrogel, whether or not they actually vampire your iron from the blood cells. It is what they can do. This is done long years ago, explaining this is what they've been working on. What may stop a lot of this? What has caused some protection? Interestingly, and if you look at, somehow if you look at this in electronic, the life is an electrical thing, we're electrical beings at one level, pretty phenomenal. As you see, we speak in gated channels, and that's the same thing we speak of as a, if you will, a surrogate, a simile of in electronics, gated channels, and being able to power, transmit power through silicon semiconductor, which, again, it takes its own dirty technology, but anyway, and a lot of interesting science behind it. But the long chain N3 fatty acids and mortality in elderly patients is a story that was sent to me as well. And I just get to the crux of most of this as I understood it. There was almost a complaint that because in the Norwegian diet provides plenty of fish, only 25% of the people given the supplement, essentially fish oil with the EDA and whatever the other thing is, given the N3 fatty acids in a proper amount, because the Norwegians have a diet that's high in fish, only 25% of elderly Norwegians enjoyed a benefit to supplementation. And as they say in this situation, the conclusion here, overall mortality in frail, elderly, acutely sick patients was inversely and non-linearly associated with EPA concentrations. This is one of the constituents of the oil, EPA. Approximately 25% of the population had EPA concentrations below the indicated threshold for maximal protection, suggesting that only this part of the population might be benefited from additional EPA intake. Let me kind of distill that down. When you look at what they say, the 25% in this study were equal to half of the population anywhere else in being the low mark. In other words, every other population in the world is halfway, it's all half of it is under the minimum. They match this limited concentration. And so half the world, look at the correlation to the injection problems and the people who are getting it. Half the world is susceptible because they have low EPA. Only 25% benefited. But they say that the people who had enough were substantially more protected than this 25% plus. And so we have another support for anybody who wants to see it, that they may claim, and they'll say that fish oil is good for the heart. There's some competing conditions. I don't take fish oil for my heart. I take it because I found out it gave me it gives me more energy, heat energy. It gives me more ability to maintain heat against the world being cold and coming in on me, and I assume it's doing some I'm having an energy function. Getting back to the electrical being, remember, oils are dielectric, and so they act as insulation, and they act as interesting energy barriers when you get on. How can I describe this? It's like the inverse energy condition. Again, A dielectric can store a charge on its surface. That's how capacitors actually work. So they're not a conductor, but they can have a surface which can store a charge. I don't know what the cause is. I'm not doing it for my heart health. I'm just doing it because I found out it works. Well, is it ironic then that having enough in energy in your body will thwart an infection of some sort, the symptoms of an infection? Anyway, this is an interesting study for long-chain N3 fatty acids. And their complaint was that only 25% of Norwegian elderly, frail, sick people benefited because most of the population had sufficient protection, and that it was way superior in protection relative to the frail who didn't. They were anyway. So moving on, I should get a better way to highlight this. But that's the crux of this. You want to find out how to protect yourself. That's one of the ways. We've been talking about that behind the woodshed. You've heard the doctors come out subsequent once they decided that they can weather the brutality of the fraudsters and the criminal psychopaths. But we also see now, even though I've said be careful not to rely on fish oil as a heart thing, they always do that in those studies. They say, well, we can't rely on it for heart. Well, there's other reasons to use fish oil. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of other reasons. And I have a couple of them I use fish oil for. Well, we now find out it helps to fortify the body against illness. Well, isn't that interesting? Vitamin D comes to mind here, but here's the problem. Another problem, CDC. Now, if you don't, you may not believe, and there may be studies against fish oil protecting the heart. We know something here right now that the CDC is doing about affecting the heart is investigating cases of heart inflammation after COVID-19. So you can take that as, this is a scare tactic, or you can understand the CDC itself made this stuff. And they're just reporting, they're going to study their own effects, probably like a violation of equals and principles of equity where you're not supposed to study your own harm and give a decision. But the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has begun to investigate its reports on myocarditis, heart inflammation, in people between 16 years and 45 years of age, receiving either the genetically engineered experimental messenger ribonucleic acid BNT162B2 and RNA1273 biologics for COVID-19 developed by Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, respectively. The cases involved are primarily males, and they typically occur within 4 days of getting the second dose of the shot. So, more, again, they don't know. That's what VAERS was set up. They don't know what this stuff does. So, for those of you that are not the 46% that just went ahead and got your rifle and think you're going to live long enough to do anything about it, if the heart inflammation from 16 to 25, how long you think you're going to live? How fit you going to be to go out and use that? How strong is your finger when that hoodlum jumps in your door? You're going to use to reach over and grab that gun to protect yourself? That they're going to get probably take from you because you don't have that right anymore somehow. Well, you don't have a right to defend yourself unless you can explain it. So think about that one. 125 cases of myocarditis. Oh boy, these words anymore. Followed the vaccination have been reported to the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System since January 2021. Okay. What are they going to say? The heart condition relationship, it's unclear. Okay, so fine. You can believe that, or you can start to put this together and start to use this in a list of things that the studying means they don't know. And the studying means they don't know, and then relative to you, why this becomes so important, and it's about you, about these treatments. No one has studied you. They can't, because they can't get to the information, and there's no report on you, so they can't know for you. Each one of you has this power that they cannot disclose to you. They're supposed to disclose. You're going to see in the stories, if I don't get to it, read for the stories that say the employers will have to disclose, and you can come and say, but you didn't disclose this. You'd probably have to wait after their presentation, and then you'd make your list. And so then you assert on the employer that they're committing fraud against you in order to do something that's detrimental to you. And then they also get you, you can also go for practicing law without a license. And so you're already going to be after, they're after you anyway. You might as well make a very solid rejection because you're going to find out there are some protections. And you know, the government themselves, I have some documents, some links here that will show you that the government themselves is telling the employers they can't retaliate. When you start reading that stuff, you start taking that down, you start to learn how to construct your record so that they it's proper, and they when they take an action, it is retaliation. What am I saying? You're in a battle. You're in the war. You're in a war with someone who's not a government. And they think they have the right to harm you. You're also in a condition, you're hogtied as a servant to that employer. And the court today came out to say, or yesterday, whenever they made the decision against Houston, they said, you knew that. You knew that's the game. You knew that's the game. And I'm sitting here, I almost smile because I'm sitting here, what else do I need to say? I've said all this to y'all. And yet we persist to continue into the illusion without really coming to terms and really understanding what self being self-reliant and then maybe what mutualism is relative to those individuated self-reliances. In other words, you have skills and talents and things I don't. And so we're all going to have to come and help at some point. At least I would hope so, because if we do, then we're going to have some measure of protection. Then there's as we get into employers, I may get to this as I'm trying to move right on through this. You're going to see that I'm going to say a nasty word here, but it's going to be the truth of how you play the game, right? The union. You're going to have to come up with your own union, I think, as part of what you're doing. First, you do your defenses for yourself, and then you try to help you align with others in a mutual defense. And there's provisions in federal law I think I've seen, and I'm going to offer to you here. Let's move into that. Hospital, this is from last week, from a Twitter, and I think I got this from somebody in an email. My mind's slipping here anymore. So much going on, actually. Hospital in Houston, Texas, has suspected. Hold on, excuse me for a second. I've got to check something. Yeah, looking out real quick. As I said that, the demon deers I have and her fawn and the other deer I have and her fawn are trying to thrash the garden. I better look out there because every time I forget, they're out there doing their duty, and boy. Anyway, thank you very much for the interruption. We'll return to the broadcast. It looks fine now. A hospital in Houston, Texas has suspended 178 of its staff members who have refused to abide by its mandate that employees be fully vaccinated. So those 117 I reported on were actually 178, and they were suspended. And I told you that they then were going to do a lawsuit and did a lawsuit, and they used the Nuremberg Code. I said that was likely the wrong way to go. You can't rely on that until after you show that they didn't have a right to do so and that they have no jurisdiction and authority. So this is for real now, folks, if you had another thought. 178 people gone. Right? The oil industry was willing to let 100, to not promote against the vaccine and find half of their workforce, if this lady is correct in the information, half of that workforce will have to be replaced in 3 years, and only those that took the vaccine. And so we'll look at the correlation, the 50% that did take it against those that didn't and are still holding out. I'm asking you, you're going to have to probably know more to hold out. So here it is. Here's how the hospital went ahead and suspended a bunch of people. These people filed suit. Here's the answer. Late breaking, and thank you to Sound Minds for the, almost didn't get this in time for me to look at it, but I read it enough to see a couple things in it right off the bat to tell you, and we'll get this in the broadcaster. A federal judge just ruled against over 100 hospital workers who will be fired if they don't get the COVID vaccine. Points of interest here. A federal judge threw out the lawsuit filed by over 100 Houston Methodist employees. And point number two, the workers allege the hospital's COVID-19 vaccine mandate forced them to be human guinea pigs. Guinea pig gulag. And the judge says, no, you're going to be, you are a guinea pig. The judge said that the workers are not being forced and coerced to take a vaccine. You have to listen to this logic, this contorted logic. This has been with us a whole long time. It's probably the hardest one for me to deal with. But this is the fact. This is like here's what they do about the right to travel, so-called, the right to use the highway they haven't talked about, the right to use your granted access and ingress and egress they don't talk about, but the motor vehicle code, your driver, the lack of the driving by right, they'll tell you, well, you aren't coerced to be out on the highway. You don't have to use the highway. You could walk. Is the word cynical even proper there? Is that what you call that cynical response? When you hear this kind of stuff, no, you're not forced to take or coerced to take a vaccine. How about extortion? He didn't say not extorted, you know. I hope you picked that up too. You're not being forced or coerced to take a vaccine. How about extortion? See, the coercion is on the right. You have a right. What's your property that's been infringed? That's extortion. He didn't talk about that. I'd like to see whether or not he actually went there. But why can't you get there is the same problem of going to the federal court in the first place. What have I said for months and months and months? For almost over a year. Don't go to the federal court. Okay? Why? Because they're going to bind up with their state. And how does that mean? That means you have to then defeat the governor again. Why the governors early on were going to the federal court. And only by one judge saying, wait a minute, you can't. You're using this as an evasion of a duty you can't prove. I don't know where even though I think that was the Pennsylvania case. So they went to the federal court. The judge came back and said, "You're not being coerced. You're going to have to get your vaccines. You could not work." A federal judge tossed out a lawsuit of more than 100 hospital employees who sued Houston Methodist over its policy requiring all staff to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Against flu-like symptoms, folks. The workers allege in their suit that the hospital was forcing its employees to be human guinea pigs as a condition for continued employment. They also accused the hospital of violating the Nuremberg Code of 1947, likening the vaccine mandate to Nazi medical experimentation on concentration camp prisoners. Let me interject back up in here. The human guinea pigs as a condition of continued employment. If you haven't destroyed their authority to impose it, you are guinea pigs to start with. You were a servant to the master. All servants will do what they're told. Oh, then the government steps in within reason. Well, you've seen what reasonable search and seizure how reasonable in the reasonable search and seizure provision has been used to erode that. So, you're a guinea pig. Yeah, you're a servant, too. Why don't we talk about that? All of you that are working in an employment contract or seeking it are seeking a servant status. Debtor not a master bee. It works not just in money, funds, whatever that fiat is, as money. They accuse the hospital of violating the Nuremberg Code. How many times have we heard that? I've been telling you, back off. Don't go there. You're not that far on. Why are you relying on international recourse when your state laws have an answer? Why go to the feds for an answer when your state law has the answer and the state courts have jurisdiction? I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm saying, why do you pick the wrong jurisdiction to go fight that fight? I guess that's the more important point. The United States District Judge Lynn Hughes was not sympathetic to either argument, writing in his order of dismissal Saturday evening that none of the employees were forced or coerced to take the vaccine. He also noted that the hospital cannot violate the Nuremberg Code because it is a private employer, not a government. How many times have I told you to not make this mistake? And I told you the third-party attack on the third-party the front was going to be the most difficult. I even brought it up the way the Supreme Court mushed up the problem given the Postal Service a status of a sole proprietor in the state and not as a government entity, yet agreed it was a government instrumentality. If you don't understand the knot, the Gordian knot that's being tied right before your face, I don't know what more to say. And unless you start figuring out how to slip the bar out from that knot and the wagon that they're forcing you to haul around and carry them around in, I don't know what more to say. You're just going to continue to complain and be amazed and dismayed and can't get it and shake your head, and it's all coming down and coming on you. Equating the injection requirement to medical experimentation in concentration camps is reprehensible Hughes wrote. Nazi doctors conducted medical experiments on victims that caused pain, mutilation, permanent disability, and in many cases, death. Wow, that's a big statement. Oh, he's signing on to the experimentation. We just said you're guinea pigs. He's countering the guinea pigs by saying, oh, you're not guinea pigs, by saying that to be guinea pigs, you have to suffer this. Go to the VARS. You think pain and mutilation is going on? You think that they're mutilating your passage, your airway, to shove a tube down your throat that you didn't need? Maybe ivermectin would have kept you from. Hydroxychloroquine might have been better. But guess what? You can't say that because you went to federal court. And they rely on the determination of the governor to do what was right, because you never said that determination was fraud. And so how dare you say that that's accuse the upstanding governor that you've elected and the politicians and the employees of the state. How dare you, Greta? He added that the workers were free to accept or reject the vaccine and that they would simply need to work elsewhere if they chose the latter. Then, this, if a worker refuses an assignment, listen, the if here, did you miss it? If a worker refuses an assignment, changed office, earlier start time, or other directive, he may be properly fined. Every employment includes the limits of the worker's behavior in exchange for his remuneration. That is all part of the bargain. I'm going to stop right there. Boy, let's go back to the if. If you refuse assignment, changed office, earlier start time, and other directive, you may be properly fired. Properly fired. What are those prior conditions? Those are accommodations. Ah, so you're told right here, and what none of these people did apparently, and they shouldn't have sued all together. They should have sued separately, actually. And they should have done it in state court. That's right. That you are going to be forced to accommodate. You have to use the ADA and another couple of rules in order to demand the accommodation. And you're going to hear, if you go read through these tabs I'll be posting, you'll see that's the advice. So you have to set up a record that shows that they gave you an assignment that was proper within the realm of the reasonability, the reasonable imposition on you, consistent with the law, the actual law, which you'll see by the federal guidances relate to the local determination, why your letter is so important here, that you are not a contagious principal with an infectious agent, and thirdly, that you're therefore then not a risk, because that's what they're talking about. And these accommodations are relative to that. Exactly what I've been talking to you for months and months is coming out in this court case. So they all sued. They lost. You know the bargain. You know the slavery you've asked yourself into. And they say this is 178 or more than 100 employees against 25,000. That's another thing. How is that percentage? That's such an infinitesimal percentage just of the population that if they say that vaccines work and the rest have had vaccines, you would think that would be the end of the risk, would you not? Or they're admitting that the vaccines don't work, which the government itself admits. Now we have a problem. Did you make that part of the record? Well, these people didn't. And these people, I think, went to the wrong court as well. And you see what's handed to the government. You see what's handed to the third-party employer. What I was concerned would happen is right here. If I can say my fears are coming upon me, they're not really on me. But there are it wasn't a fear. It was a prediction of how you would be taken down as a society. Employers contend with conflicts over mass vaccinations. These stories now, and now you know you have no rights. You have to then put them inside. The rights you have are the ones you gave. The ones you gave are stated by the judge as being such things, because there's more than this. As assignment, you can ask for an accommodation, change your hours. You can work at home. You can put yourself in a time slot that you're not working with anybody, I suppose. The directive they talk about has to be within the policy. So the policy has to be challenged if they put it in. Why? You're going to find out there's another thing where they're going for. They want everyone to have these vaccines, and so they're going to lawfulize them legalize them, not lawfulize them, but legalize them so that it gives more limited liability, it limits the liability of an employer to order it. Why wouldn't you want the authorized one? And I'm having trouble with those two words. I don't know why. It's slipping from my mind. What the government didn't do relative to what they shouldn't have done. And then remember, too, they're doing this notwithstanding the VAERS saying, remember, the doctor said to the Texas senators, on prior vaccines, 15 people got hurt. They shut the process down. You just heard that there's reports of 125 people, young people even, with heart inflammation problems. Inflammation, folks. This is another thing. You don't have to worry about it. It's on the heart. I bet they had more inflammation. You got in your heart, you're going to have it elsewhere. Just the heart was the first thing to break when the inflammation hit. Over to here again. So you have all these things that they must accommodate. You have an offer that nobody apparently is actually imposing before they take the big leap and stand on their rights. You're a slave. You don't have rights. You do as you're told, and unless you can get protected by the rights you gave. The right you gave is to make reasonable accommodation. Have you ever heard me say anything different? It is right there in that case. The United States, the CDC's recent guidance on masks has encouraged some vaccinated employees to go maskless in the worst place. This is on the title of Employers Contend with Conflicts Over Masks and Vaccination. This is just evidencing the lack of rationale and reasonableness behind something that was never been able to be tested and never was on a bunch of people that never insisted to be determined to be a contagious principle and a risk. What am I saying that way? Because you then have to also be given the opportunity to do something in order to limit the risk. That's not even offered to you. How? What do they suggest? Besides the vaccine that they have failed to non-fraudulently discuss with you, which they're supposed to disclose, which you have all now to protect yourself. You want your job, folks, or you want to get a job. Well, you're not going to get a job because they're just not going to put up with you. But to keep your job, you better start really paying attention to what I'm saying and start making your record up front. I've taught you to do this for months and a year and a half. While the guidance may result in more people receiving COVID vaccinations and ease the return to workplace, workers who oppose vaccinations may be frustrated by rules that still require them to wear masks. This frustration is one of several contributing to mask and vaccination-related workplace tensions. I've offered how you're going to reduce and eliminate that, or at least put your record in a state and in a place that if you do have to change jobs, then why would you want to work with such an unreasonable employer that would create a health risk for you? I don't know. That's a decision that everyone has to make anyway. Then you set up your record so that if you do, you at least can get some unemployment because they're attempting to steal that. And you'll hear that in these stories. I may or may not get to it because of all the detail that's in here that I think you need to just hear this to know that you have a shot. Some of the answers are within these articles, and you're going to have to take the time it takes for you. Again, and I don't know which one of your problems, but they're talking about setting up a two-tiered system. This is a segregation society, folks. So I don't know where the Civil Rights Act went, but it wasn't to protect you and keep rights in you. No, it's to make you bar the servant. And part of the answer on this, not necessarily an answer that solves a problem if you're going to be an employee fired in a system that doesn't use them, but I think one of the things, I think I've talked about this a lot, you're going to become a private contractor. And you're going to find a place that a savings clause for livelihood that the government can't intrude. And you're going to be working with those people you're going to be doing business for people that appreciate that you're not a shedder, that you're not a contagion, you're not going to die on them when you, by a heart attack from working for them because you've been vaccinated. That you're going to, the 25% of the society that's left, hopefully 50%, but the 25% that sounds like they're going to still be active, are going to have to set up their own contracting rights and contracts and in things that the government and third parties can't interfere with. And if they're going to be, they're going to have to deal with you. In a hospital setting where probably a lot of people will get the 178 jobs, that's probably not going to be so good. You're probably not going to see that. You're likely going to have to change, but you can set up the record to be able to go out without financial harm that they're trying to hurt you with, to threaten you with, to get that vaccine so you don't have to face that. this is that balance that you have to look at. What do you choose? You choose ye this day who you'll serve, and you're going to choose whether or not you're going to sell your inheritance for a mess of pottage. All right? I mean, we can go through all the proof that this said that this is the proof of what people will do when they're pressed. And I've told you the protocols of the elders of Zion are there to tell you what you don't know about you, and they know more about you, and they know everything on where to push the buttons. And likely you're going to capitulate. And those of you that think you're immune to this, you're going to be working with a diminishing world, is all I can say with that. And apparently, I think that eventually, some people are getting old enough that they may not last long enough that this happens, but there's going to be some more pressure and knocking on doors, and you're going to be compromising yourself at every turn. And I don't know what to say more about that, instead of standing up and to the point where you don't have to compromise, and you still will set up a thing that they have to recognize, that everyone else has to, the black and white recognizes. Now, they have new directives here that are coming down. At the organization, they let the vaccinated workers remove masks. But see, we had the problem. They think masks becomes an issue, which is not. Mask by OSHA regulation is a violation, not to be used where it's not made to use. An entire hospital is not a thing where you wear a complete mask, where you wear a mask, only in specific cases. I heard nothing like that from the attorneys in that Houston case. No, they went to the wrong jurisdiction, brought up Nuremberg, which I told you, it's not, can't fly, it's international on top of it. Now we hear the point, yeah, it's international, that's government. Yeah, that makes sense. United States government looks out in the world and is the intermediary. United States government is the intermediary with the world, not the states. So you have to be dealing in governments when you go international. But we don't have to, we're not that big a problem for us. We got the communicable disease code that every legislature has said will, and if you look at it closely, will protect due process, your due process rights. And it gives you remedies inside there if it's done wrong. And yet, we are in a time when the occupier now shows themselves for what they are, when you're not seeing the members of the occupier doing the right thing, or none of us is stepping up in numbers in order to, 117, 178 lawsuits in the state court challenging the fraud that is giving license to the employer? That would be kind of interesting. Why didn't they do that first? Why didn't they just go get their letter, 178 letters written to the local official saying, did you have a medical report on me? Have you determined that I'm a contagious principal of an infectious agent? Have you declared me somewhere to be a risk to the public? Oh, no, the public official says, no, we have not. Well, there's your letter. What's the employer going to do? Now you have to accommodate this. Stop your defamation. Part of the defamation league. Stop your defamation. In fact, okay, so we're going to probably get to these employee things. I mean, I got to get through, because you have a mutualism that you could build in that's in the federal law as well. The question first, maybe I should touch it and go back. So what I'm saying here is, when we move into the employee-employer servitude, you have rights you gave. Well, some of those rights is a labor law, and we'll get to that in a moment. But my thought is, before I lose the point about that, in coming together mutually with each one of your factual letters that says you're not any of the things that would make you a risk or dangerous or susceptible. Remember, there's the susceptibility and transmission problem that's never been decided and can't be. They don't just tell you any of this in support of the imposition that the reasonable imposition is not reasonable if it's based in fraud, is it? You might consider, as we move in, to create a union of the healthy, defamed, extorted, coerced, and impermissibly persecuted. Your union should have that name. The union of the healthy, defamed, extorted, coerced, and impermissibly persecuted. The members are asymptomats. And you form your union underneath the federal law, which is the rights you're gave because you don't got any way, and you advocate through that mutual protection and union how you're going to not be defamed, extorted, coerced, and impermissibly persecuted. And you bring everything I've been telling you on how you show that you are. And they cannot attack you when you've done that. I'm not saying abandon the other. I'm saying you do that also. because this is where this is going. You will be able to come in mutual aid of yourselves to get the accommodations that are first shown not to be defaming you, extorting from you, coercing you, or impermissibly persecuting you. The coercion here would have to be a development of a right you have that the federal court would not extend to you, that the state ought to. You got to say ought because you got to go find it and then you got to put it in there. So that's an idea. I'll advance a thing that I'm getting to ahead of time as I'm talking about this federal imposition and I'm talking about these conflict that's going on. You can defend yourself against those conflicts to force them to be reasonable by outing, becoming your own mutual aid union and naming the things that they're coming at you with, and that gives you the power to assert those things right up front that they will have to answer before it can be condemned to be reasonable. And what I'm saying is you're going to be taking away their ability to even have a reason. But can employers legally mandate the COVID vaccine to return to work? Well, they just got a decision. It says so. This is a story I had up, but we just got the decision from the federal court. That's going to, whether you believe it or not, is not important. It's not material to what the employer, the third-party employer, is going to do. When I brought up the accommodation thing for people using businesses, becoming a customer of the business, it's not much different. You're negotiating access. And the bottom line, we went through that study. I did that for, an hour and a half to show you how to go through it. The bottom line is, when you'll read in every one of these things, that they can do it if they conceive you to be a risk. And I said, coming out of March of 2020, you have to take that away from them with your first letter. Did I not, folks? Did I not? Now, again, I said, as this thing rolls out, it gets tougher and tougher. You need more. That's the first thing. That should be the beginning and the end. And because it's not, it should tell you what I've been saying is accurate. For all that's nobody's listening to this broadcast, if they're going anywhere else, or they think they have a different way to go, or they're going to defend their rights when it comes down to it, it's going to be way too late. Way too late. There's a couple of things that have to go on. You're not only defending yourself, but coming in mutual aid of each other that are being set against. Because if they'll take down the one that's like you, they'll take you out. And the more precedent they get, the faster they'll do it. And here's the problem, because they know they're working on public perception, and they're almost breaking over half. And if you look at that as an election, 51% is enough that they win. The clueless win. The thing I've been trying to tell you folks, you have to be careful of. The clueless don't even have a clue. And they're the winners? And you let them do that? Because of these occupiers? Boy, oh boy. So, and I am moving into now, can the employer do so? Sure they can. But interfering with employees' rights comes up under Section 8 and 7 and 8 and A1 underneath the law for the National Labor Relations Act. Now, for those of you that are listening to me, and those of you in the position that you can, and those 178 people before they got suspended had they done this, unionized to mutually protect themselves and fit with inside this act. It's not the things about COVID necessarily, it's that you are advocating a union to do certain things within the realm of the act. And you'll find the words that you can use to use as I was looking through this. You can find the words within the act to be the union I just named you. You can name it anything you want. I just thought it was kind of funny to go ahead and just name whatever they're doing to us. It probably might be more. The union of the healthy, defamed, extorted, coerced, and impermissibly persecuted. I thought it was a very forthright union to be involved with and have people come in mutual aid of each other and force what I've been saying about how they are fraudulently coming at you underneath a union, underneath the National Labor Relations Act, which provides one or two phrases that allow you to do that. You can only act within that union, though. So don't think this is another answer. This is just another weapon, another shield, if you will, another imposition that they have to accommodate you. They can't stop you from advocating this stuff. They can't attack you. They would have to do it on other things, like what? Giving you an assignment you won't take. They can then fire the slave. And so you have to look, I'd say you have to look very hard and close at the battlefield here and look and understand it way better than anything that's going on. And it says, the like here, Section 8A1, the Act makes it unfair labor practice to for an employer to interfere with, restrain, or coerce employees in exercise of the rights guaranteed in Section 7, which is that guarantees the employees the right of self-organization to form, join, or assist labor organizations to bargain collectively through representatives or of their choosing and to engage in other concerted activities for the purposes of a collective bargaining or other mutual aid or protection, as well as the right, quote, to refrain from any or all such activities. Okay? You are a mutual aid of your protection was one of the points. You have to sit inside that this provision. So you have to, even if you're by yourself, you say you make the union and you're looking to advocate to get more people to come in on it. In a place like the 178 in Houston, they would have at least one. At any rate, another potential shield. The employers then have to deal with that. Why am I doing this? Because I told you, as it ramps up, you have to have more things come to bear. And you have to work with inside the context of the right you are gave because you have nothing else. I've told you this forever about the occupier. Now, we go to OSHA and their guidance. There's foreign guidances. The guidance on returning to work. As I asked, and I'll continue to ask, how is it that a foreign authority, a federal authority, can overcome the state law? That a state, and the United States has said, the federal government has said, in a reservation in the international regulation, health regulation, that the states, is reserved to the states, this decision. How can a guidance for returning to work have anything to do with the communicable disease law? Is something that you need to kind of think about and look at on how this thing is being done and how it's done wrongly. This OSHA is for health safety. It's all about safety. You're going to read in this document, it's about safety. It's about risk. If you find out about that, you'll be able to speak exactly what I've been saying about how you address the fact that there's no evidence that you are a risk or that you're not healthy or safe. And I want you to notice in this document, you get it on, it's a PDF, 27 pages, talks about the guidance for returning to work, and tell me whether or not you find the word vaccination in it as a remedy. And so, that should just tell you a whole lot right off the bat on the fact that you have the things the judge just said you have more. To add an accommodation statement that you need to assert now. You have to assert it. Just like the Pioneer Police State said, I told you they were going to go on more. They did it for consumers or customers, for the people would just get together and buy and have joy and spend money and get product that they wanted. No, now they've made it a big legal hassle to accommodate the healthy. The what? The defamed? The healthy, the defamed, the extorted, the coerced, and impermissibly persecuted. Those that are no risk and not been determined to be a risk to anybody and a danger to anybody. Now these foreign suggested best practices guidelines are based in fraud. Are they applicable to healthy people? Are they able to violate the local law? This is what happens when you answer you get your first letter done. And you come together in mutual aid to show that you're not, and you're being persecuted now. And they're not supposed to persecute you. It says it right in that labor relation thing. You're coming to protect yourself as an employee, even as a slave, given the rights you're gave. They've given you this. Yes, I said given. Best practices for returning to work in a vaccinated world. April 13th, 2021, if it wasn't anticipating this, getting back to business. And it goes through with a bunch of suggestions on how this is all rolling out and what to anticipate. And this is where you start looking very carefully. There's a list of things that they get to do, what you get to do, what they can't do, actually, that you get to see they can't do, and what it takes. You need to see this list to see what it's going to take. Make your list, and then you need to look at each one and say, how do I counter how that happens? A lot of it will be where you're not considered a risk by official determination. And they have to only do reasonable things. And they can't ask you about your health. And they can't do other things. And I'm not going to go through this. It's a long write-up. That's fascinating to watch, look, and see what they are to do and what they're not to do. And inside that, if you just had my mindset about looking inside and reading the words, you would pull out and extract all the things you need to expand the list the judge just said about how it's supposed to be a reasonable imposition. You have to reject an assignment. You may not, how you're supposed to be different. Well, when you don't, you're dealing in a fraud and you haven't been assigned a risk, then all of their purported mitigation is not reasonable. You may very well be looking at changing your job, but it seems to me, as I've been hearing, there is a need for workers all over the place. I was shocked. The employers can't get people. And there are 25%, I'm sure, 25% of the employers out there will be amenable to you. So maybe don't be so afraid. I'm not saying change your life, but if you have to, maybe you have to. You're talking about giving up your inheritance, your life, your property, all for this fraud, a psychopath's fraud and setup. Global. I can't believe the globalness of it, but it is. And the United States government is pushing it, and the local officials are allowing it, and they're willing to take the bribe. It's no longer about the cold now, the flu, not even COVID. It's about the bribe money they got to substantiate. I've told you this a long time ago that this is the way it was working. Not to say, oh, look at what I saw. No, why haven't we been working in response against this? Come on. This was so obvious. Workplace reopening stalled by unclear safety rules. That called to me. Just these titles tell me a whole lot, folks. This is a big problem. This gives you the wedge. You can drive right into this. The unclear safety rules. What's safe? Well, if you're not a risk and not unsafe, what's safe against you? Nothing. You're normal. You're just the persecuted. And they can't, there's no defense against that. That's not, to persecute you for that is not reasonable. And I'll just mention it. There are other provisions like religious beliefs and principles that you can stand on. And you got to do those somewhat direct and somewhat, you can't be a question. You don't want to make that a question. In fact, I had another story I pulled off. It was about the burden upon someone who's seeking asylum. They have to come with the right answer. This is going to be the same thing. You are considered under this asylum thing that you're now having to ask to get back into your own country. You have to, when you assert a religious objection or something like that, it has to be at the strenuousness of the asylum seeker. And now that I said that, I wish I would have put that up as a tab just so you can see that story. It was just a recent story on the burden is on the Ninth Circuit got it wrong again was another thing. They got it wrong again, and the asylum seeker has the burden. It can't be put on the government to delineate the negatives to that. And so workplace reopening stalled by unclear safety rules. Yeah, because no one's asserting what would be actually safe. Okay? What's actually safe? Well, if you're not unsafe, how is it relevant to you? And so I've been asking you to put yourself in that footing. Go down that path. Keep that path as narrow as possible. Start finding the exceptions. Look at their main thrust is for risk. Take it away from them. Take it away objectively, not because you just say, I'm not sick. See, they took away your asymptomatic card, and now you can't use it. Now you need to go to the occupier to get their permission. I've been telling you this the whole time. This is before COVID, I've been telling you this. And I got crickets listening, I think, and I got crickets in the world. And I don't know why, but I'm blown away. Companies can require workers to be vaccinated before returning to office, attorney says. This was an interesting story, attorney says. Won't fight that it's a fraud, but says you're going to have to be, you could be vaccinated. Well, if you look carefully, they also say in the story, it's uncharted grounds. I agree. Absolutely. And that's your place to put your wedge. That's where you put your crowbar. The uncharted ground. You chart the ground that they were not supposed to traverse. You chart the ground that they are now trespassing. That's how I've been saying you will do it. He also talks about you will have to accommodate. I agree with that in this attorney. Where I disagree with him not fighting for everybody against the fraud, I agree with now the ramifications of what's happened when they didn't. You will have to ask for the accommodation. Where have you heard that? When I other anybody listens to me, you heard it when we talked, and I detailed the accommodation in the Pioneer Police State where you have to violate the ADA to ask for special access, where it says you can't be discriminated on your access. And yet there's a certain process to do it, and it took me an hour and a half, and I finally told you, the whole time. At the end, I'll show you what the initiating sentence is that should eliminate that ability for them to have a say unless they can show the proof you are the risk. And that was the point. You make the statement, you're not. If you have the letter, even better, so then you know you can back it up in a court of law, not before them, because they can't ask. But you say, the bottom line of this accommodation is that you believe I'm a risk, and you don't have that right. I have no report. Do you have a report that I'm a risk? Do you have a report from the local health official that I'm a contagious principal with an infectious agent? And if you don't, you don't have reasonable grounds to suspect that I'm a risk to you at all. And so I would offer, and you offer your alternative, I would offer that you allow me, if you want to do 6-foot distancing from me, fine. I offer, I just come in, I'll buy what I want, give you my money, and we'll be friends again. We won't have animosity. But if you find that I'm a risk, then please let me know, because I haven't been told. But the onus is on you now. I just want to buy stuff from, I just want to do business with you. And so that's a made-up conversation. If you can have that kind of a level of conversation, maybe that'll go that quick. That was you as a customer. The employer's a little bit different. The employer's going to come, and you're going to have to set up situations now, as I told you you would, in order to survive a lot of this. And if you don't survive, you want to make sure that you make a record that you can at least get some that remuneration that you've been paying for in unemployment. Yeah, you don't want to lose that either. And so this attorney is telling you, make the accommodations you need to make. I then looked at that and said, well, why don't we go up and make a union of mutual protection to protect ourselves? That's underneath the National Labor Relations Board. Maybe the federal government will find favor in that in you. If you understand what's going on with us and how, if you will, play the game. You knew the bargain when you stepped in. Well, shame on you if you didn't, because that's, ignorance is no excuse. If you haven't heard it told to you that way. And I know, I'm not judging any of us. We're ignorant walking into all this stuff. And it's been being used against us. Our ignorance has been used against us. Just like the protocols of the elders of Zion have said, we know you better than yourselves. We know who you are, what you want. And we know how to keep that ring in your nose. And you don't know anything about that. And so there's your employer thing. I've offered quite a few answers here on what you're going to do as an employee to protect yourself. Houston is shown to do wrong, just as I, in summary, said so. And the Nuremberg is shot down. So much for that. And then you find out why, and then I pointed out to you what was the internal authorization for that is a fraud, and more importantly than the fraud, because it may not be a remedy, there may not be a remedy for fraud any longer, as I told you back in 2009's fiscal problem, but they have certain things to do, and you're just looking for what the court in Pennsylvania, the judge said, I think it was Pennsylvania, said, well, the state, as a state, you didn't show that this was an infectious principle, a contagious principle, and you haven't determined that he's a risk. Neither is his business. There it is. That's the nice and simple little place that you need to go. So it more, as I think I'm trying to think here, as I wrote to somebody, the phrase, the thought you need to hold in your mind, and then you prepare to have this and you assert, I think was no employee has been determined. This is what I think I said on the air to you about what Houston should have done. No employee has been determined to be an infectious principal through lawful due process, nor has been determined pursuant to law to be a risk to the public to give either the government jurisdiction or the employer lawful authority to force any mitigation measure on innocent people or to extort or coerce them of their property or rights under color of lawful public health authority. I've offered that a couple of times. I've offered that originally in an email. That seems to hold to the core of this whole issue that you assert that last statement. You can go back and listen to the tape, type it out, look at it, read it over, understand the when I paused, there was clauses there to understand, to be able to protect yourself, to assert. You look in the law, all those clauses are sitting there to be done, and then you're being protected. In an essence and in a reverse way, that they've never fulfilled the law to determine that you're any of these risky or dangerous things, that they can even have a concept over you or a reasonable infringement over you. And you get away from whether or not you're coerced or not. You just take away their right to say. I told you this was a different game. You can't hit your rights directly. That's one of the evidences. As this thing is going to be endless into the future, and I come now to the story of the Chinese, the recent story now, Chinese reports first human case of H10N3 bird flu. A 41-year-old man in China's eastern province of, why is it always from there? Anyway, it's Yangsu. Has been confirmed the first human case is infectious, of infection in the rare strain of bird flu known as H10N3, said the Beijing's National Health Commission. Yeah, rare is novel, and novel hasn't been happening yet, and they've just infected somebody to continue. Remember, we started out with H1N1, now we're in H10N3. We remember a Taiwan doctor was caught smuggling out, what was it, H7N2 or something? Yeah. These are those variants, the endless diseases that they're putting out there, which they can use endlessly to be the next thing. And as it's been predicted in all the Johns Hopkins paperwork and the so-called drills that they the exercises that they go to. At any rate, I'm running up against a problem here with the amount of work I need to say here in the next few minutes. There's the next one. The next one's coming up for the bird flu. We talked about the pig's fly flu, and we got another one. Now it's H10N3. This Supreme Court limits hacking, a scope of controversial hacking law. This story is important about how the government, the occupier, will extend to itself the right to do what you couldn't do. This is a cop who took money, received money for getting information that was accessible to him through his job as a cop to give information to somebody. And he was sued underneath the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. And the Supreme Court came back to say, no, he can do that. He can take the public funds and the public database and hand it to a private party for money. It is the scam that's going on that I told you the occupier will protect its own. You and I do that, we're going to jail. The cop does that. He takes advantage of the public records to hand them to somebody for a profit, and he's going to be protected. Now, moving on real quickly here, how police secretly took over a global phone network for organized crime. The first one was on utilizing the computer hacking thing. Here, this is inside taking an app, and the government put in an app that people, organized criminals, took on. Something wasn't right. Starting early in the year, the police kept arresting associates of Mark, a UK-based alleged a drug dealer. This goes on and on through EncroChat products, software that was in hacked, and they were able to get the global organized crime thing going on. And all I want to say on this is that even when you're told it's protected, it's not. The governments can get at it and get at you, and this is the protection of your whole digital world shown to be non-protectable. And so I guess we could continue to tell ourselves stories. Or we can start getting right with what we're seeing here relative to what the government could end up doing. And nobody knew about it. This thing was going on for months and months and months. Their government was collecting data internationally, and they did thousands of arrests in dozens and dozens of countries. And so, I guess, again, you're the Internet of Things is controlled by those that created it and have told you that they've created it. And they contain and set it up as a surveillance net once they want to. And that's a very thin veneer of protection you have. Even if it is the government, you have rights. You only have the rights you gave. And so, thank you, Grimner, for what you do at RealLimitedMedia.com. Thank you for what you do to keep us there and all that stuff and make it easy for me to show up in today. And folks, if you listen to other broadcasters, I'd appreciate it on Real Liberty Media. Everyone's got their opinion. You pull out what you can. And Nadu and Gary L. and Gigi Boo will be up next on live, which is not necessarily on tape. And thank you, Gary L. and Gigi Boo, for what you do and all the syndicators. I appreciate that. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.